Thank you for giving us, Lord, a new heart, a new spirit, Lord, a new way of praising you and thanking you for removing the heart of stone from our flesh and giving us hearts of flesh, giving us a new way of being, making us new creations in Christ. So we ask that now, Lord, with the minutes that remain here, that you would bless your word to us, that you'd minister to each heart as each heart has need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and we have some super newlyweds among us. There's Vanessa and Alex, Jean and Craig's son and daughter-in-law. Stand up, you two. Yes. And I mean super new. And it is so great to have you. Man, I'm telling you, kids, it's unbelievable how they grow up. So congratulations. So if I asked you a question, if I asked you, what's the dominant theme of the Bible? What would you say? Love, love, without hesitation, love. We could rightly say that the Bible is both a love letter from God to us, and it is a love manual from God for us. It tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And for those who receive that gift, it declares that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And then it instructs us even further. It says, every other commandment in the Bible, if you summed it all up, every other commandment in the Bible is summed up in this: love your neighbor as yourself. The Apostle John was a quick learner. In one of his epistles, one of the shortest books in the Bible, he mentions love 46 times, 27 of those times in just 15 verses. It's like he said, you know, Paul is this prolific writer. I'm not as wordy as Paul, so I'm going to just make my point and move on. And his point was all about love. But love isn't just the heartbeat of the scriptures. It's in our music. It's in our movies. It's in our art. It's in our stories. So here's the question. If love is everywhere, why is it so hard to live out? Why is there war in Gaza? Why racism and sexism? Why jealousy, envy, strife? Why is that rearing up in all quadrants of our society? Well, the answer is simple. But it's not easy, because someone else knows that love is the Bible's main message too. We aren't the only ones who know it. Scripture calls him the adversary. Scripture calls him the deceiver. Scripture calls him the evil one. And if love is God's greatest gift and God's greatest hope for humanity, you better believe it's the enemy's favorite target. So today's message is titled, The Love That Surpasses. The Love That Surpasses. And I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. All of this will be in my notes again, as always, this evening on our website, valleybrook.church. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21 reads like this. For this reason, Paul writes, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more or exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God has placed us on a mission of love. And ground zero is internalizing his love for us. That's where it starts. That's what empowers us. Internalizing his love for us. So Paul writes to the Ephesians, he says, I'm praying for you to know God's love in a way that surpasses your knowledge. I'm praying that you would know his love in a way that surpasses your knowledge. Now, what is that? How can we know something that surpasses knowledge? How can we know something that goes beyond our capacity to know it? Paul is praying that they would know experientially what surpasses their mere intellectual knowledge. In order for this to happen, we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, who comes to live inside of us when we put our faith in Christ. That's why Paul says, I'm going to pray this for you, because I can't explain it to you. I can't make you grasp it. I can't make you believe it. So I'm going to pray and ask for divine intervention. I'm going to ask God's Spirit to open you up on the inside so that you can have experiential knowledge of this love that surpasses your ability to be able to conceptualize it. His love is not something that we can fully study. It's not something we can chart. It's something we receive, something that fills us beyond what we can hold. So what are some of the features that make this love surpass our knowledge? First, it's the size and scope of it. For one thing, his love dwarfs ours. It's just bigger. It's just greater. It's just wider. It's just deeper. It is beyond knowledge. So the sheer size and scope of it makes it unique. There's no comparison, really. He is infinite, and we are not. The second thing that that characterizes it as a distinct and amazing quality is its vigilance. We get tired in our attempts to love. We get tired. We run out. I'm done. He never does. The scripture tells us he neither slumbers nor sleeps. I, on the other hand, we slumber and sleep. My daughter, Falami, took a picture of me supposedly slumbering at last week's fall festival meeting that we were having. Look, Pop Pop, you're sleeping. I denied it. But it certainly looked that way to the untrained eye. But the scripture is unmistakably clear about his awareness and his availability to love us at all times. It is constant. Another thing is its precision. Thank God that, and I was thinking about this week, thank God that when we ask him for bread, he doesn't give us a stone. That's what the Lord says. If you ask for bread, will he give you a stone? Just a human father. So thank God that when we ask him for bread, he doesn't give us a stone, because sometimes we don't know the difference. He won't give us a stone even if we throw a tantrum because we think it's bread. God, why are you not giving me this bread? Because it's a stone. It doesn't look like a stone. It doesn't smell like a stone. It doesn't feel like a stone. That's because you don't know what a stone is. I know. And I love you too much to cater to your adamant request for a stone. I know you want it. I know you think it's what you need. I know you think that it will bless you. And Lord, just think about what I could do with this for so many others. Thank you, Lord. It's precision. He not only knows how to love us, he knows where to love us. He knows what parts of us have been starved, what regions in our hearts are unknown, even to ourselves. He knows our buried, subconscious love needs, the ones we don't even know how to name. That's what makes it bigger. It's precision. We think we're asking for what we need, but we can't always see that. And according to the scriptures, his love is new every morning. It's new every morning, and it needs to be new every morning because life changes. No 2 days are alike, and we change every morning. We're not alike on any 2 days. Every day is different, and our love needs are different, too. Some days we need comfort. Some days we need courage. Some days we just need somebody to believe that we're not crazy. As the great historic, well-known Rosanna Dana used to say, it's just always something. If it's not one thing, it's another. It's always something. And the Lord's love comes to us tailored for that exact day. Another thing that marks it as this amazing quality is its changelessness. Talking to my grandson about technology. He asked me how I felt going from phones like this kind, holding one piece to your ear and one right here, to the mobile phones that we have today. And I protested. I said, wait a minute. I ain't that old. I ain't that old. And the funny thing about it is that on the inside, I don't feel as old as that sounds. That's how it is on the inside. But I do feel grateful. Because when I do get to be that old, whatever that old is, his love will be there. And it will be the same. Because it's changeless. As it says in the old hymn, time is filled with swift transition. Naught on earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Everything changes. The status quo, it's a myth. There is no such thing as the status quo. Change is the only constant in a world that is created in time, which this one is. Change is the only constant. So we build our hopes on things eternal. We hold to God's unchanging hand. His love for us is eternal, it's unchangeable, and it's unshakable. He's the one who stays after everybody else has left the room. Brothers and sisters, friends, remember this. In Christ, God thinks you're adorable, not just tolerable. Beautiful, not just bearable. Perfect, not just passable. And this is the love that he wants us to internalize to fuel our love. And that's what I want to finish with, talking about our love. Again, it's a love letter from God, and it's a love manual from God for us. And this is what I want to talk to you about, the nature of this love that we've been given to give. He wants us to first internalize, as Paul was praying for the Ephesians, I want you guys to understand this. But I want you to understand this so that you can be a tributary. I don't want you to be stuck in a reservoir. I want you to be a tributary. I want you to let this love flow through you to others. Be filled up so that his love overflows from your life. So you're not gutting out spirituality. So you're not gutting out love. You're not clenching your teeth, grasping the table, forcing effort. I want it to flow from you. And it will flow as you are connected with this love that surpasses knowledge. It will flow from you. Won't always be easy, but it will lubricate your efforts instead of them grinding like gears. This is what he wants to flow through us. I saw a meme online that I just had to share. Jesus is preaching. And he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And someone asked, who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, it's whoever you were hoping I wouldn't say. That is who your neighbor is. But here's what I want to say. I don't want to get into what to do and how to do it. Don't want to get into that. That's where you would expect me to go. But that's not where I'm going. I want to talk about something that we don't talk about a lot, related to this love that we are to share with others. As we think about loving others, I just want to say that there's something about the nature of love itself that it's important for us to grasp. There is no need to be either jealous or possessive of love. Your love for someone else does not mean you love me less. We often treat love like it's money, finite, counted, portioned out, as if each act of affection requires subtraction elsewhere. But real love, healthy love, divine love, it behaves more like a flame. One candle lighting another does not lose its light. The room only gets brighter. In relationships, this matters, because your friend or your partner's kindness to others, their deep friendships that you see, even their familial bonds, these don't take away from the love they hold for you. Unless they begin neglecting, unless something shifts in rhythm or integrity, their love for you remains. So just receive it and trust it. So when our hearts quietly ask, should I be afraid of the way that they love other people? Should I be afraid of the way that they love others? The answer often is no. If anything, their capacity for love affirms the warmth you know already. When I see Laverne's love, how she cares for her friends, how she cares for her family, how considerate she is, how crazy she is, how joyful she is, I am not witnessing less love for me. I'm witnessing more evidence of a heart that's capable of sustaining the warmth that I've known all along. I'm witnessing the authenticity of the love that I'm experiencing. That kind of heart doesn't run out. It just bears fruit. So let's not confuse divided attention with diluted affection. Let's remember that God's love multiplies. And because we're made in his image, we too are capable of love that does not diminish when shared. God is the original flame. He is the source of all light. He's the source of all love. And his love is not diminished by sharing it. God's love is not diminished by sharing it. Because he's infinite, he can light the candles of every person on the planet. That's why it says God so loved the world. And that's why there's no losing out on his love. He's like the original flame. And he's able to light all the candles on the planet. He's never portioned out. It's always full, always present, always more. As humans, we're limited by time, by energy. We're limited by attention. We can't focus that long. We can't light everyone's candle. We're not like God. We can't light everyone's candle. But our love doesn't have to be exclusive. Within our own communities, whether it's the community of our family or our workplace, our neighborhood, within that area, we can light all the candles that we come in contact with. Everybody's heart has more rooms to light than we realize. And let's be honest, you know, I've never heard anybody say, I'm just too loved. I just don't have any more room for love. We have an infinite capacity to receive love, all of us. And so any love coming from one of us to someone else is welcomed when it's genuine. So that, my friends, that's the love that knows no sleep. That's the love that has no limits. That's the love that has no expiration date. And that's the love that surpasses knowledge. And that's the love that meets us in every transition, every ordinary day, with mercy that's new, again and again every day. It's the love that inspires our love. And that's all I have to say. I'm done.